There's a tray of cheese right here. Yeah.
Can you eat that?
I can.
Yeah.
He's on a diet.
He cringes.
This is like the perfect week when you started unloading up. That's all I can see. Matt Russell can't eat one thing on that show.
Mercy on us.
Did I screw that up?
And you can get Listen Up for only $14.99.
So we're going to do something different today. That's a little different. But I fully expect this to turn into a conversation about faith.
Sure.
Faith in eating with no calories. So, Matt, Haley's here.
Hey, Haley.
Hi, Matt.
So good to see you.
So, Haley Brown is on our staff, and she's on like lots of staffs. You're going to have to tell everybody like all the many staffs that you are on, and then we're going to talk about what in the heck. If you're listening to the podcast this week and not watching on YouTube, you're going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage, so I would encourage you to listen and then go back and watch, because we have a spread of food,
visual feast.
And you're going to help us understand what it is. But tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and why we're looking at this stuff. I mean, I know the answer to that question, but no one else does.
Yeah, okay. So, a little bit about me, all the staffs that I'm on. So, first and foremost, I'm the director of Gastro Church. That's why all the food is here, and why everywhere I go, there's usually food and drink or hot sauce that follows me. And Gastro Church is another United Methodist community that was started. Oh, we're getting really close to almost 10 years. We're like eight and a half, something like that. It was started by another United Methodist pastor. And she, there was a lot of things going on in her life, but she realized that there's probably more people, especially people her age, at restaurants than at church on a Sunday morning.
We're talking about Meredith.
Yeah.
Wendy
Meredith Mills. Yeah.
Yep.
And so she was like, what would it look like if, you know, we gathered folks around tables? And she also, she's a voracious reader and had read some studies that I cannot quote about how most of our words throughout the day are really about things that don't matter. They're meaningless. We constantly talk about how bored we are, about the weather, what we're watching on Netflix. And so we have these interactions with people. You know, you walk in and you say, like, how are you doing? And they're like, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. How are you? You know, and then you move about. Very rarely is that actually, you know, the truth. And so she created this space that's really an invitation to talk about things that matter. And go a little bit deeper and actually build relationships in a way that's comfortable for introverts and extroverts, in a way that like creates this opportunity to build relationships with people that you might not otherwise build a relationship with. Because very often you come to Gastro Church and you sit around a table with people that you don't know. People with different faith backgrounds, people with different belief systems, people that vote differently from you. And you don't really have an opportunity to talk about those things, the things that divide and make us different. And so we spend an evening around food, like eating three courses at a time, and we unpack a topic. And with each course, there's an invitation to talk about something, to be vulnerable with the people that you're sitting with, to share and to listen. And we have, it's very structured. We have a lot of rules. So it makes it easy for someone to just walk in and not really, and just be actually. So that's my main gig, Gastro Church. And then, yes, I'm on staff here with the center. And the way that that all came about, because when I was on staff here at Chapelwood the first time working in children's ministry, I had some touch points with the Shirettis because of their middle daughter, Zoe. And then with Lori Anderson and like on a 3x3 walk, actually, at staff retreat.
Staff retreat.
Yeah. And we like became instant kindred spirits. And then back in those days, staff worship worked where the different communities would take over and like lead staff worship for a month at a time. And I just remember always being like, oh my God, this is so nourishing and enriching whenever the folks from the center were leading staff worship. And so I had those connections with them. And during the pandemic, Gasser Church had been awarded a grant to do some research and some experiments, which of course was really, really difficult during the pandemic. And so I had reached out to Lori Anderson and Rachel Shiretti to help me write and record some guided meditations, because we basically like sent people, like we gave away Sabbath weekends. And so I put together like a kit with some food and some wine and all sorts of other things that might help you really like find restorative rest and cultivate some delight. And so I asked them to help me. And next thing I know, like Rachel comes in, she records her business. And then I have a message from Michael that's like, hey, so we've got this opening at the center. Would you be interested? And I was like, nah, man, I've got a full-time job. And at the time I had a side hustle at an urban winery here in Houston. And so I was like, no. You know, and why? But then I came in for a conversation and I was still like, I'm not sure what, you know, they needed like an admin person, which I really hate admin stuff. I mean, I can do it, but it's like, you know, that's not like feeding.
Drains your soul.
Yeah. I'd much rather be building plates of food and having conversations with people. But I don't know, something within me was just saying like, there's so much crossover between what Gasser Church does and what the center does. And I felt like this might be a good yes. And I had conversations with people and I'm like, I don't, you know, I'll invent more time. I can always find more time. And so then I said yes to that. And so that's two jobs. And then I kind of teased the third, working at an urban winery in Midtown, which is another thing that came out of the pandemic. As a super extrovert, I was really struggling being stuck at home by myself, single, no pets, barely had plants at the time, which is really what got me down the wine rabbit hole. But Gasser Church literally gathers strangers around tables and we serve family style and we like pass the plate. So like, how do you adapt that, you know, during the pandemic? And we did some things. We came up with some ways. But in 2021, I had this idea of let's create our own master classes. Like, let's do like a guide to wine or bread making or beer or, you know, whatever, plant-based eating. And we filmed and recorded and did all these things. And we would explore like, whatever the thing was itself, its historical significance, the spiritual significance. And then we offered an opportunity for people to come in and support a local business who I would like call up and say, do you want to partner with me? This is what I'm doing. And I had been to this urban winery in Midtown pre-pandemic. And so I called her up and she's like, yes. And so next thing I know, like we're doing this thing. And it was like a hybrid opportunity. So like you could do it online, like watch the thing. You could come pick up your wine bottles and do your own tasting at home and like watch, or you could come in person. And before the event was over, she was like, hey, what are you doing on Saturdays from like 2 to 8? You want to come and just talk to people about wine? And I was like, no, I have a full-time job, you know?
But then I was like, part-time, right?
Yeah. So anyways, I said yes to that too. And that's just been a lot of fun because I literally just talk to people about wine and kind of help. And actually I get to talk about Gasser Church a lot because people are always like, what do you do when you're not here? So it's a fun opportunity because I'm just constantly meeting new people and hearing stories. And I really enjoy helping people learn something more about themselves. So like when people come in and they're like, oh, I don't like white wine. I'm like, well, let me give you this one and see like, if that might change your mind, you know, or I only drink sweet wine, or I only do, you know, whatever. It's like, you just haven't had the right one because there's literally thousands out there. So yeah, I help people test assumptions and.
Oh, testing assumptions. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're welcome.
So Gasser Church is, it's a very intentional experience, and it's very, instead of wine being fruit forward, it's faith forward, right? It's a faith forward. So there's conversations around, like, for example, you have theme nights and then that you just ask questions and people talk.
Yeah.
I mean, so like, what would be an example of a theme night that you've done recently, and what would the food have looked like?
Yeah. So, last year we, all of our Gastro Churches, were partnerships with other organizations, and we did one with the restoration team actually, and talked about restoration in all of its, you know, different, capacities, and talked about what it means to like restore a home, like what makes a home, like what's different, like house versus a home. Those are two different things, right? And like the work that they're doing is not just like fixing a house. They are like, you know, restoring a home and helping restore communities and all sorts of things, right? So it was, we were going to be talking about a lot of different things. And so I have a couple of chefs who I call up and say, all right, here's what we're doing. This is kind of what I'm thinking. Help me talk through this. And this one particular chef, Bernadette, she's amazing. I told her, I was like, I'm thinking we should lean into comfort food, like the food that you associate, like if home was a safe place for you and you were fed, then like, what did that look like? What did that taste like? And so she had this idea, like for her, thinking about home and her childhood was like, ants on a log, you know,
yeah, no, celery peanut butter
and some raisins. Yeah.
You know, it's old school. In the
golly,
South.
I was like lost. I was going everywhere, but there.
Yeah. So she had this idea and I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, we can't serve ants on a log, but she's like, we'll do a salad, like fresh greens. It's kind of like an Asian themed. So she did like a peanut butter vinaigrette dressing, and then had some different types of like golden and purple raisins. And oh man, I will not forget, like as I'm picking up all those plates after the first course, everybody was like, that was so delicious. Like how creative, like I would have never thought, you know, but you're right. That like took me back, that peanut butter and the sweet of the raisin. And so that, you know, like the opening kind of conversation piece was what comes to mind when you think of home, you know? And so people, as they were eating their ants on a log salad, like they got to go around the table and share what that answer was for them. And like, as the evening goes on, the questions tend to become more vulnerable or, you know, deeper, maybe harder to answer for some folks. And so each Gastro Church, no matter like what we're talking about, what we're feeding people, it's, at the end of the evening, people are just like, oh my God, that was such a healing experience, or like what an incredible opportunity. Even the people that come to every single one, you never sit at the same table. You're never sitting, even if like, okay, there's one or two people, but
so you're not always with your own tribe.
No, no. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that separates Gastro Church from like a potluck or a sacred supper or just a regular dinner party. It's like when you go into a room, you know, you automatically go and look for the people, you know, who make you feel safe. And then you like, oh, okay, here, let's all go and sit, you know, at a wedding reception or whatever, the luncheon, you know, but
not
here,
John. John likes to sit by the creepiest people he can. It's kind of an odd thing. Have you noticed that?
That really makes me feel great, because the other day he came and sat down next to me.
I'm just saying, the shoe fits.
Yeah. But I will tell you, part of the job requirement is when you do go into a church meal, you have to go speak to every single table. Which, by the way, if I've ever done that at your table, I loved it. It was wonderful.
It's exactly what you wanted to do.
I can't wait to do it again.
So I was eating standing up.
Yeah, this, you know, the whole idea of doing around a table, there's a lot of eating and parties. Jesus attends a lot of. He was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard by the Pharisees. So it makes sense to me that churches do a lot of things around food. And so this ministry kind of came out. I mean, food is like a very central part of this whole thing.
Yes. Yeah.
It was interesting to me. I had a conversation with Meredith 100 years ago when this thing first started, because I'm old school. So I was like, how's this a church? You know, it's kind of an experience.
Back in my day.
Well, yeah, of course. But I will tell you,
a restaurant.
I will tell you, and it may have evolved as well as too, but you know, I mean, now when you think of more and more people who don't go to organized institutional church, but people are still deeply spiritual. They don't have a problem with Jesus. Yeah. They just got a problem with Christians.
Yeah. So Gasser Church is like a threshold. It's a space that has like one foot in the church world and one foot out. And so it really, it's a, Meredith, she said this so beautifully one time where it was like, it's a space where people can find belonging before they believe, and they can believe before they've found, you know, a place to belong. She said it better than that. But it was like, there are no prerequisites. Anybody can come to the table. And very often we do Gasser Church out in the wild, like on a front lawn or in a park or something, so that there isn't this like organized, you know, institution, the brick and mortar that's, you know, serving as is a barrier for some folks.
It's not, it's a brick and mortar, but like, so I was with, I was in Tupelo, Mississippi this past weekend. And one of the questions that one of the associates was asking about, like, you know, what are some ideas for discipleship groups? You know, because I make the joke that I've made a lot here is that some people are in too many Bible studies. You know, they just go to Bible study and just fill their head, but it never moves to like application of what difference does it make that I know this and how are you living practically as a follower of Christ? And so these sorts of things are like much more tangible, things you can touch, tactile, feel. And you're actually kind of doing these conversations while you're living life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're inviting a variety of people to it.
Well, and you're thinking differently. You have to like put things to words. You know what I mean? It's not like on a Sunday morning, you're listening and absorbing. Mm-hmm. And maybe you go to like a small group or something afterwards. But like, you know, throughout the whole process, as you're absorbing information, then you're sharing, you're connecting those pieces. And I think that also helps you to really explore whatever it is that you're learning or thinking about.
And so much of church is deductive. Like you sit, it's like academic.
Yes.
You sit in your pew, you listen to me talk for 20 minutes, and then you leave. And this is more experiential. So for example, if you're listening, it's going to be hard to do. You brought things.
I did.
So we learned this on staff retreat. If you put Haley in charge of, like we just thought, hey, why don't you come in and just talk about the Gastro Church and the sommelier thing? And she comes in with like, you know, a U-Haul truck that she backs up to the door. And I was like, she's like, well, this is just how I do what I do. So what is all this that you bring here to the studio?
Yeah. So you mentioned this earlier that another piece about Gastro Church and another thing that this is like one of those things that it has in common with the center is like everything we do is done with great intention. Like they're like down to the napkin. So if you come to Gastro Church,
I know I had to move my water bottle off of the table. Yeah, my Ozark water bottle. She says, yeah, that doesn't.
That's killing the vibe.
Very intentional about everything.
It is. Like, we create an ambiance when you come in. Like, I used to have to, especially when we were doing this in the park and stuff, we'd literally be up on ladders hanging cafe lights because that soft lighting is a different vibe from, I mean, obviously.
Studio lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
But, like, even just, like, the halogens in a conference room, you know, it's different. Like, do you use a lamp in your office or do you have on the bright,
the institutional,
you know,
hospital lights?
Stuff at, exactly. Yeah. So we, depends, but also what, we're trying to showcase this radical hospitality. And so like we set the table, we break out the fine china. I'm always doing dishes. We use like real linen napkins, which is like, okay, we're showing the radical hospitality here. We're also being good stewards of the earth because we're not throwing stuff away constantly. We always try to have the menus be seasonal and locally sourced. So I have relationships with, I mentioned Central City Co-op. It's a co-op here. It's the oldest co-op here in Houston, actually. They've been like 20, 25 years, something. I built a relationship with them and told them like, this is what I do. And I'd like to always be able to source as much as possible. I want people to be eating whatever's coming out of the ground right now, which I think is probably how like God intended it. But, that's another thing. And I want to be able to also like support you guys. So, you know, Gasser Church was born out of this idea of like, restoration and like what it means to, you know, restore a relationship with each other, restore a relationship with God, but then also like restore a relationship with creation. So like the food that we bring is like, I know who made it. I know where it was grown. I know when it came out of the ground. And that's something that's really, really important to us. So everything that you see here is like from.
So you're not just picking up like Velveeta slices, no. Kraft American.
Not right. A lot no. of spam in this charcuterie, is
it? No, no. There, I'm not dogging on like HEB or whatever. Okay, like grocery stores are fine, but
they're not a sponsor yet. You can dog on them.
If they like to become a sponsor,
but.
But. This relationship that I've developed with Central City Co-op has just been like life-changing for me, not just for Gasser Church, but like it's changed the way that I cook at home and how much money I spend at the grocery store. You know, when you go to the grocery store, you're like, what do I want for dinner, right? As a member of the co-op, I get a share of what's coming out of the ground this week.
Come on.
And I'm going to make what from what I have. From what's That's been cool. given to me. So, like those oranges, the apples, the purple cauliflower, all of that came from the farmers that the co-op has relationships with, and was part of shares last week. And actually I took a picture of where each one of those things came from. But I can't like recite that off the top of my head. Yeah, yeah, I can. There's also, I don't know if you can see, there are these really beautiful, right? Anybody know what this is?
Some kind of a vegetable. It's a radish.
Yes. Any
daikon.
It's a watermelon radish.
I have no idea. I only know there's radish and daikon radish.
People don't know about it. It's really beautiful, obviously. And it's pretty tasty too, especially if you dip it in my spicy hummus.
What do they call it? That ASMR? Like on the
This is ASMR.
Dip it in what now?
That spicy hummus. Do you like spicy things?
You do like spicy things. Okay. Pico, pico. See, and I ate lunch and I told you I was going to eat.
Yeah, thank you.
Red?
Wow. Better hit that burp button, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So they, in addition to like supporting local farmers, yeah, because the radish has a little bit of bite to it as well. They also support like local small businesses. And so there's chocolate on the table from a small business, Dalila Chocolate. She's in Cypress, Texas. The crostinis that are over here, the triangles, that is a gluten-free and vegan bread from a bakery here called Levon Bakery. And you can find them not just at the co-op, but they're also at Urban Harvest on the weekends. This over here in the corner is like a maple carrot tea cake that they made as well. It's also gluten-free and vegan.
And cheese over there? Oh, sorry.
There's a tray of cheese right here. Yeah.
Can you eat that?
I can.
Yeah.
See, he's on a diet. He's
no, it's not. Of all I'm sorry. The weeks he cringes. For y'all to come and ask me to do this.
I don't know how to have a conversation about this. This is like the perfect week when you started unloading up this. All I can see, Matt Russell can't eat one thing on that tray. He Seriously. Only eats like things with a face.
Okay.
Just for a little while longer.
What kind of cheese? Or do you want to hear me talk about the cheese?
And yeah, bring it to me. And apparently he can eat it. I had no idea. I didn't know cheese had a face.
The cheese.
Hard cheese.
This cheese I got from Houston Dairy Maids, which is another like local small business who we like to support. If you're a foodie, you probably know who they are because they got really cool stuff.
Houston Dairy what?
Houston Dairy Maids.
We can put this stuff in the show notes.
Yeah, great. I'll tag all the things. Yeah, so if you go visit them, they're off of Airline, like in the the expansion of the Heights. In this like tiny little place, they've got like over 100 cheeses in their store, and so each week they pick 5 cheeses that they want to feature, and they if you go inside, like you can taste all of them. They have these little trays for you, and then they like give you these nice little notes and tell you about each cheese, where it came from, things about it. So this one right here.
So this cow was named Cindy.
Yeah. And, this is actually, this one right here, it's like, called.
Did you ever watch the show Portland?
Yeah.
Portlandia?
Yeah. Yes.
When they go in to order a chicken and they bring out the chicken in his name and they said, we'd like to go visit Tony the chicken at the farm and see how he's taking
care. Yeah, that's exactly what you do here. No. So this cheese is like a mix of cow and sheep. And this one right here is...
Are we allowed to taste these?
Yeah. Is a the second cheese there on the platter is a goat cheese from Belgium.
Oh, wow.
And then...
From Belgium?
From Belgium.
He doesn't speak English. That cow doesn't speak English.
Then this number four here on the tray, this is called Tomarashi. And this is from a cow. And it's from California.
Mm. It's liberal.
Yeah, very. And spicy.
Yeah, liberal.
Spicy, spicy, spicy. What's really weird about all this is that
wait a minute, start. What was this one?
Oh, Lord. This is the mix of cow and sheep from Vermont.
Okay, we got that the interracial
really,
cheese.
All right, now I've only had one. That's
really, really
good.
Really, really freaking good. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, come on. That's
Right? I'm a food person.
This is
going to
be worst
podcast. People get
ever.
So upset.
Mad at us.
What?
We got to pause here. I feel like we're like running through this. That's really interesting.
Okay. You want me to give you all the things about it?
Yeah, yeah. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it is a raw blended milk cheese from Vermont Shepherd made from a combination of cow's and sheep's milk. The cheese has a rustic natural rind with an almost stone-like appearance. Its paste is buttery and subtly sharp with nutty and toffee notes. That's why I like it.
Come on.
This version, their winter seasonal, is aged for 2 years until you start to get those crystals in it. Have you gotten
a
crystal?
Yeah, definitely.
The little crunchy.
It's got like, an aged cheddar sort of crystals.
Apparently, Vermont Shepherd, where this cheese came from, is one of the oldest sheep dairies in the United States.
Oh. My goodness.
This is the worst podcast ever. Because everybody's like...
Everybody's like...
Dadgummit. I don't get to taste it. All right, so what is the second one? Again?
The second one. So that's OG Goat.
OG,
the OG goat.
The OG Goat from Belgium. Oh. So you need to do it with an accent.
That's more French.
That was even better than
French
I thought
goat.
It was going to be.
Yeah. If it's a German goat, it's a German goat. It's like,
wow.
Wow, cheese.
And we're not even drinking wine in this episode.
I know,
this
time we have it could be so much better.
Oh, God.
So OG Goat, this is, it says OG Goat is very special because this is a 24-month version of OG Crystal. But it says it's a Gouda recipe. Mm-hmm. So it's like rich and dense and sweet and complex.
I like that.
It doesn't taste like any goat cheese I've ever had. Now, when I went in to buy these, she's like, "Do you want a sample?" And I'm like, "Oh, if you only knew me, because I'm actually really, really picky cheese eater and don't really like a lot of cheeses." And so I was sitting there like, "Oh my God, my face. I'm going to have to just do this one." And you know,
yeah,
because
we've already
these...
talked about how you can't hide.
Yeah, but that wasn't on record.
No, that was another.
They gave us these tiny little squares, but I literally was like nibbling at it like a mouse.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, "Oh, you're trying to savor." I was like, yeah. But I was blown away by those first three cheeses. This one, almost died. But
this one should make you throw up.
I love blue stinky
it's
cheeses.
Like,
well, get her done.
So what's the third one?
Third one.
Pimento.
Yeah, this is the
looks like
Tomarashi.
Tomarashi.
It's spicy. This is from a cow, and it's from California.
Oh, yeah.
So
they do good food in
let's
California.
See, what
I already
does
told
it
you
say?
That last week.
Oh, they do.
That's your piece of cheese right there.
Yeah. All
right. This is from Point Reyes Cheese Company.
Oh, Point Reyes. There's a great break off of Point Reyes that I've served before.
Oh,
this is good.
Cool.
And this is not.
It was right
this
there watching you.
This is not the surfing edition. Sorry.
All right. So what? So this
it has a Japanese spice blend inside of it.
Yeah.
It's got nori, toasted sesame, poppy, hemp seeds, chili flakes, and ginger. Yeah.
Hello, ginger.
Right?
That's nice.
It was so interesting. I was like, man, I could have just sat down and really enjoyed
that. Okay, again, we don't want to insult HEB because we love HEB. All this stuff is way better than...
Yeah.
Than Munster slices that I've been...
I'm not usually a salad person. I'm a meat and potato girl. I would, like, put bacon on it. Then maybe I'll eat the salad. But the co-op has a relationship with this small organization here called Verde Greens, and they will take like whatever's left from the co-op and what's coming out of the ground for them, and they'll put together these salads. And I had one time, I don't know, I was in a bind or something, and I mean, I was just like floored. Like, that salad literally changed my life, because I've never tasted lettuce that tasted like this, that had like this amount of flavor. And so you don't even realize.
Have you been to Whataburger?
The lettuce? Yes.
That
they,
yeah, that lettuce that's on Whataburger. Not,
yeah, that's no. Like barely lettuce.
Okay.
You know, sure. So like.
I was surprised you didn't have Whataburger cheese on here.
That, it, no. They're not a sponsor yet either.
So they're all three delicious. And this they is the one you don't like, the last one.
Yeah, I'm not touching that.
What is
cut
that?
Into that?
That is, well, it's a blue cheese. It's called Bleu de Cambremont.
That's easy for you to
which
say.
Which means, yeah. I'm about to vomit in French.
It's from a cow.
Ooh, it's
from
soft.
Switzerland. So like this is
I love
alpine.
Swiss cows.
Yeah.
They're very nice.
They're a little.
They're very nice.
So, and it's got those blue veins in it. That,
yeah,
I like,
they stick holes. Yeah. So they, when they make it, you know, they stick pinholes.
Yeah.
So that the mold can get down into the cheese.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like I'm actually allergic to penicillin, so that's the excuse I use.
Well, that's got a fishy smell.
When I was unwrapping it, I was like,
Try that.
But so many people love it. And actually, blue cheese is a really great like cheese for
that's
pairing with
really
wine.
Good.
Really?
Which
yeah,
actually,
I was watching his gag reflex before I cut into this.
No, listen, dude, it would have to be really, if I gag, mm-hmm. It's off uncharted territory of human non-level
yeah, this
of consumption.
Does, oh.
We'd have to pause.
I mean, this smells is actually, like, this smells like a feedlot. That's what that smells
yeah,
like.
Yeah, well, you get, that's very
that
earthy, but like
it smells
it's
like
a
cow.
Fishy,
oh.
Yeah, manure.
Yes.
Mm.
It smells like a feudal.
But
it smells like Lubbock.
Like manure from Switzerland?
Wow, that sounds
it's from
delicious. And you just ate that, right?
Yeah,
you
wow.
Ate
that. Wow.
Manure. Mm, we're having this. Mm, that has notes of cow dung.
Yeah, is that hay?
No, but
corn.
That's not nearly as.
Corn?
That's actually it's a very soft cheese.
Mm-hmm. It's really
creamy.
Not.
It is.
This would be great. I mean, it's actually not that.
It's delicious, actually.
The creaminess, like, really set me. I was like confused because I thought blue cheese was always crumbly and like hard, but yeah. I mean, it's still not for me, but
I get it, but it's good.
That's good. And good. See, my favorite on a charcuterie board, you get a little cracker, you pick some blue cheese and then put a little honey or a little jam on it.
So I got lots of honey right there.
Interesting.
Get you one of those crostinis. So each one of those honeys.
He can't eat crostini.
Is a different harvest. They kind of look similar.
Just put meat on the cheese.
Yeah,
on
that's
the
what
honey.
I'm gonna do.
Can you eat honey?
Oh yeah.
Here,
bees have a face.
Your diet is.
So tell me. I may be, this is my ignorance. Tell me about the interaction of the cheese, the bread, and the honey.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the
so
thing.
There are like rules when you're
flavor
pairing
explosion.
Food, and like it. You know, it's. Science basically right about the
this
different pH levels yes
okay.
Yeah,
they're
all three of those are honey.
Which one what is the difference?
Each one is a different harvest. So there one of the what's her name, the Pergola Raw Honey, she's here in Houston, and each one of those is a different harvest from her bees. And I can actually tell you about each one. I thought this was a really cool thing. She's got, like, when you go into the co-op, you can see, like, a tower of honey, basically. And then she has, like, this, you know, tasting notes, basically. So you just put them all out of order. But I think this is one, this is two, this is three.
Go with one first.
So,
I went straight to three because I'm
show
advanced.
Show me what it, or can you look at the bottom of that?
Sure.
See what it says?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The bottom.
There's
bottom.
A little crust in that crostini.
That crunch I'm picking up.
More Jeff. That ASMR.
Jeff has headphones on. He's like,
can you read it? Is it a 6 and a 1?
Oh, 6/123.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
The...
Yeah.
Okay.
6/123. So this is 50% Aldrin and 50% Buzz. So she's like named her.
Buzz Aldrin. Get
it? Yeah.
It'll take you to the moon, baby.
This was her second harvest of the 2023 season. And she said it was a doozy because there was 145 pounds of honey that she harvested that day.
Crazy. That day.
Yeah.
You're making some babies.
June 1st, 2023. So she said that it's floral, like little thick. The color is really, really nice. That's what people expect.
I had that.
John. Did you have that?
Mm-mm.
The June 1st harvest.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, so she actually said that this would be really good in stir fry or on ice cream or with burrata.
Or just poured down your gullet and just right
okay,
on it.
Okay, so they're very different.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm giving you the tasting note. They're each from a different harvest.
I just get honey in the little plastic thing that shapes like the bear.
Yeah, see what you're missing out on?
You know what I'm talking about? The little bear? The little guy that comes in the bear? I thought that was the
That's the worst honey. I mean, I'm sorry to whoever made Burleson or whoever it is. No, no.
I think it comes from
bears.
Overseas.
Battlestar Galactica.
Galactica.
Wow, yeah. This is way better than the bear honey.
Okay, no. This is the second one?
I'm telling you, you can tell a big
difference. Yeah, the second one, which I think was June 22nd, 2022. Oh, yeah. Here, hand me that one so I can.
Oh, yeah. Very different.
Yeah, this is June from 2022. That is 40% Aldrin and 60% Buzz.
Oh.
And it was the third harvest of the season. It was only 90 pounds. And I think
Jeff.
She said this like more citrus
just
on it?
Over there in the corner. Jeff, this is really good.
Your tummy rumbling.
So good, Jeff.
Did this one have a little more citrus on it?
I haven't tried that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thick one
So like honey, you know, it changes the flavor changes depending on what the bees are using to pollinate. You know, what flowers they're visiting, what things. My favorite honey comes from Walker Farms, which is in like Rogers, Texas.
Okay.
And it bees that it's got a mesquite flavor to it. And oh my God.
Seriously.
Like that my friend Dylan, he's like, that's what I eat with my yogurt, and it's like one part honey, one part yogurt. Because that's really the only way I can eat yogurt. Yeah. But honey is good for you, too, because, like, when you eat it locally, yes, if you eat, like, local honey, it will help with your allergies, like, where it is that you are.
So that darker one.
This last one.
It has a little more granular.
Yes. That one is from November 9th, and that's 75% Aldrin and 25% Buzz. And she said this one was had like notes of nuttiness and gingerbread. And she actually said that it would go great with like a manchego or a goat cheese. She didn't explain why this one is more granular, but you know, honey, as it's like heated and then cooled, it starts to do that.
Yeah.
But she said that the darker color was because this was like a winter harvest.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Well, that's delicious.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so if nothing else.
It's nap time. I've got 4 pounds of cheese and honey on me. I need to get my blanket and go lay down in
the corner. Whole reason why this is important is because, like, you know, what we're eating and the way we eat it, like, if done right or done well, can like completely transform the experience. It's not just putting like that honey that you get on a piece of toast and it's like, oh yeah, that's honey. It's like a holy moly, you know, like what a, you know, explosion of flavors. And then when you can read and know about who the bees were and like where, you know, when they were harvested and who harvested them, you know, it changes the way that you eat and really the way that you live. Like I'm more intentional.
So would this be connected to like when is it mindful eating? Is that kind of like that? It's a very like, as you're thinking about what you're eating, where it comes from, who produces it, the animals that produce it, all that sort of, it's very much a Genesis 1-2 kind of thing going on.
Yeah. Back to that like restoration of our relationship with the earth, you know, and creation.
I think about too, like the symbols. This, we just had communion this last week, and we, the way we've kind of reduced that down to a really terrible, like, wafer and a little smidgen of juice, where when I think about the table, the spread that is before us, right? Like, that the communion table is a family table where there's, you know, the conversations that are happening are about belonging. You know, it really is about intimacy. It's all those things. And that we've captured the symbol, but we've lost, I think, some of the richness of that kind of experience that happens around, you know.
Well, and the opportunity for people to literally taste, you know, transformation.
And see that the Lord
and
is
healing.
Doing.
Yeah. Taste, like, and see. You know, when that's like the thing you grow up with is like that terrible wafer and Welch's grape juice, like, ugh, yeah, what a missed opportunity to really relish in like really good homemade baked bread and good wine.
Oh yeah, we haven't even talked about wine yet, and I know more about that than I do about this. No, you know, I'm not real great at my French, but the terroir.
Yeah, you did great.
I did good.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's I don't like the Somalian tell you what terroir.
Yeah, so that refers to how a place tastes, essentially.
The like place
it's different. It has to do with the soil and the climate and like the relationship, the interaction between all of those things. You know, and there are some people who say like, oh no, that's just a load of malarkey. But I don't buy into that because like
they have in France, when you go to like the Bordeaux region and you get like some old school like French guy whose family's been doing wine for generations and they start talking about terroir, it's like it's the people. It's like on this ridge next to the thing, they grow lavender and the lavender will like show up in the wine,
some of the notes,
or whatever they have, you know, have all these things that are growing around, and they all become a part of one ecosystem that they really believe like it now is a part of this wine that makes it one of a kind. There's no other wine, even if it's like the next lot down. So it's not just the soil. It's not just does it loamy soil or sandy or rocky or volcanic. It's like everything,
the interaction of all of
those things together.
Amazing.
Yeah, which is why, like, I always say that wine has really unique storytelling capabilities, because what's in the bottle is literally representation of like thousands of years, right? So like all the things that happened like after the last ice age, all the different soils and types of rocks and all those things. But then it's also you know, the like recent experience of the people who've been farming the land and the way that they're caring for it, the way that they're being stewards. And then it's a thousand different decisions that are made about like the grape and when to pick it and what happened that year before they picked it and then what they're going to do to it after it, you know, they've picked it. There's just so many things that go in. And so very rare, I mean, like sometimes with honey, sometimes with cheese, you can like pick up different subtleties because of where it came from. But like with wine, you've got literally all of it, like all of time literally put into a bottle.
Yeah, this is fascinating to me because you don't like all these little subtle notes of things in these cheeses and honeys and stuff. Like, it's like,
absolutely,
you're right. I don't get that out of the teddy bear, or the box of cheese,
Tillamook cheese.
Well, and one of the reasons why I love the co-op, in addition to all the other things I've said, is that when I go in there to shop, if I'm picking up my share or I want to get some other things, they have done kind of like vetting of other producers and distributors of stuff. And so like if it's there in the store, I know that they trust that maker, that those people are using regenerative farming practices. So they're like taking care of the land. They're putting as much back into it as they're taking out of it. And so I don't have to think as much, because it can be really overwhelming if you're like, okay, I'm gonna go like fully biodynamic. I'm trying to be a more sustainable eater. you know, you have to do a lot of research. You have to read a lot of labels. You have to like go deep diving to know like how do these people treat their employee. You know, if you're really trying to do really good job about eating and who you're supporting. But like with the co-op, she's done all that work. So I know when I walk in there, like anything that I'm going to walk out with.
So if it sounds overwhelmingly hard, there's a group here in Houston that kind of does the frontline work for you. So when you go in there, you know all this stuff is going to be unique. Mm-hmm. And
can you buy meat there?
Yep. And all kinds of stuff too. Stuff that you can't find in the grocery store, you know.
Meat. He's on a meat diet.
Yeah. I got a meat guy. I got a pasta guy. I got a bread lady.
Bread lady.
Mm-hmm.
I got a guy too. Well, I wish we could go on and on. We're going to have you back because I'd love to talk about wine.
Wine, yeah.
We didn't even get to that. But yeah, but like milk.
We'll have to do that one offsite so that we can.
We can always do them offsite. We've done offsite before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thanks for coming and just sharing your passions with this stuff. I mean, I think it's really cool. I think mindfulness and I take so much for granted. You know, I was traveling this weekend and, you know, the easiest thing to do is just stop at a fast food place and you're just putting it in and it tastes delicious, but then
you feel afterwards.
You feel shame.
No,
you
30 minutes away.
Well, no, it's not just feeling. You pay for a lot afterwards, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not a good feeling.
Well, and we get like stuck in our own eating habits, right? And it's like Monday night is spaghetti night or whatever. And
Taco Tuesday.
With the co-op, because things are constantly coming out of the ground and things are changing. Like they give you recipes too. Sometimes I open my shares and I'm like, what is this? I've never seen this vegetable before in my life. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. And like they give me a little piece of paper. Do this. I'm like, oh, thank you.
It's the HelloFresh on steroids.
Yes.
It's like you do it. You know, I will say that when we haven't traveled a little bit around the world, especially like Italy, you think about food, right? Everybody thinks they just eat pizza and pasta. Every day, Italians go to the market.
Mm-hmm.
Every day they shop, right? And they see what's fresh and what's good, and that's what they take home. And the actual Italians that you meet, I mean, a lot of them are eating very fresh, you know, salads and vegetables.
Yep. It's
and
very simple.
I remember our guide on the trip we went, Giorgio Abate, and I said, well, I just thought all y'all ever ate was like pasta. He said, if I eat as much pasta as Americans do, because I'd be huge. Yeah. I'd be big as a house.
Yeah.
And he was very nice. He was very nice because he didn't say big as you, which I thought was nice.
That was.
But hey, thanks for coming by, Haley, and being with us and sharing.
So
and we're going to put a lot of this stuff in the show notes. And we are definitely going to have you back. Okay. Talk about that and GastroChurk. I would encourage people to check that out.
Yeah.
See what it's about. We'll put the link for all that down there as well. And thanks for coming. If you like the podcast, you like the episode, if you like Haley, if you like cheese and apples and spicy hummus, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Mm. Make sure you hit like. Make sure you share. This may be an episode that you'd like to share with some friends who might have passions about this stuff or may want to learn more about it. And then, you know, you can reach out to Haley. And apparently when she teaches you something, she throws the dog
the
in
spread.
It's like she puts it on. So
this is great.
I do.
Yeah, this is pretty nice. Well, we have anything else, Jeff, for the good of the order? We good?
Great.
All right. Well, appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. We have a little way we sign off. We just kind of say our name.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm John Stevens.
Oh, I'm Haley Brown.
You did good.
Mm-hmm.
You did good.
And I'm still Matt Russell.
He's still Matt Russell, who still only eats meat until February the 15th.
That's right, baby.
And this is Pod Have Mercy.